Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Good to see you all. Bless God. All right, let's get into business here. Let me give you a little quick review. We've talked the last couple of weeks about our rebirth and what it means, the deep significance of it, and how important it is, because without rebirth, nobody gets into the kingdom of God. And the changes that take place at rebirth, the supernatural change that delivers us from a carnal, fleshly person to become a spirit being capable of communicating with God, and God preparing us, therefore, then for the next step of our salvation, which is to receive the Holy Spirit. So last week we talked about the Holy Spirit. We gave some information about what he is called in Scripture, how he was identified, and those identities give us an understanding of a person and what he will do. The promise of the Holy Spirit was throughout Old Testament history, especially with Ezekiel and with Joel, who promised he would come. And then, of course, Jesus prophesied about the coming of the Holy Spirit, both in John 7, where he said, when you receive the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water will pour out of you. And in John 14 and in John 16, he talked again about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would come and be in us and with us. Jesus could only be with us, but the Holy Spirit can be with us and in us. And that he would be the life of Christ in us, whereas Christ could only be external with his disciples. Now, the Spirit of Christ, Holy Spirit, internally begins to live the life of Christ through us and change us from glory to glory. So, there's a whole lot more. I'm going to give you today four initial acts that take place when you receive the Holy Spirit. These are only four. They're not the only four. I have others to give you in succeeding weeks, but as I've been preparing this, the Holy Spirit has shown me how to categorize some of this so that you can absorb it and have the concept of it, the understanding of it, the revelation of it. And then a couple of the others that I won't cover today, such as speaking in tongues. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then there's the baptism of the Spirit into the body of Christ, which is an enormous subject, which I will cover in due time. And that the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So there's much more to cover, but today, I'm so excited, I want to just jump up and down. The promise of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, people received the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in tongues, and the whole crowd of people that came from all over the world heard these magnificent sounds of people speaking in their own languages and praising God and prophesying, and they asked the question, what does this mean? And of course, Peter stood up, and he said, This is that which the prophet Joel prophesied, that in the latter days these things would happen. And so he gave explanation to the experience. And later on, the rabble, these people, asked what they could do to receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter was very, very clear. He said, look, you are the people that crucified Jesus. You're here today to celebrate Pentecost, but you crucified Jesus. You have to repent. The great sin of that time was the rejection of Jesus Christ. And he told them, you need to repent and ask for forgiveness of all your sins. Receive the Lord, and you will also receive the Holy Spirit. Because the promise of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, 38 and 39, is to you and to your children and all those who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that would be us. So here we are. Hallelujah. Four things that happen immediately and begin to take place, succeeding after that. I want to talk about these things not just in a technical way by explaining the scripture. I want to talk to you today about the magnificent effect of these truths. What is the effect of these truths that I'm going to give you, because there are psychological and emotional and intellectual healing that will take place with people when you realize what Holy Spirit does. Okay? Number one, we'll go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, in whom, after you have trusted, after that you've heard the word of truth, even the gospel of your salvation, wherein after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you are sealed by God, by His Spirit. His Spirit is the seal of your salvation. Now, to understand seal, you've got to look at, let's say, the use of sealing throughout history. For example, a king, if he was going to send a letter to another king, let's say, in a foreign land, and they wanted to make sure it was authentic, the king would have his epistle, his letter, sealed with a stamp of his signet ring. You know what a signet ring is? It's a stamp. And they would put sealing wax on the epistle, on the letter, and then the king's ring would seal it so that when the person who received it saw the seal, he knew it was authentic, honorable, trustworthy. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, when you received him, he was the seal of your salvation, that you're an authentic child of God. Holy Spirit's not poured out on anybody else. No other religion, no other people ever receive Holy Spirit. Only Christians receive him into their lives. Why am I bringing this up? Because you need to know that God keeps his own. There have been questions throughout history about once saved, always saved. Have I committed the unpardonable sin? Have I lost my salvation? Have I gone too far? That question has come to many people. I don't know if it's ever come to you. I suspect so. And the question is, have I committed an unpardonable sin for which there's no forgiveness? Jesus answered that question. In a discussion with the Jews, Jesus talked to them. Look, you can go to Mark 4 and read the story on your own. Jesus was casting out demons. And they came and they accused him. They said, you cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. So your work is of the devil. And Jesus said to them, every sin that is known to mankind can be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. So, there's been people who say, well, did I blaspheme the Holy Spirit? You only can blaspheme the Holy Spirit if you attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil. Settle this right now. If you call the work of God the devil, that's blasphemy. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, for which there is no forgiveness. I want to stop right now. If any of you have been struggling with this thought, the devil accusing you of this, I want to stop right now and let God heal you and deliver you of that. Anybody here struggling with that? Receive the truth and liberty and honesty of that right now. Now, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says that. With your sin. And I know that we've all done that. And so what happens when you grieve the Holy Spirit? Your communication, your awareness, your sensitivity to the presence of God, your peace, your quietness, all leave because you've grieved. And he will be restored with you when you ask him to forgive you. It's just like offending a friend, isn't it? It's like offending a friend. He's still your friend, she's still your friend, but you just don't have it right now. What's the point of living that way? Ask him to forgive you. That's the first thing that happens when you receive the Holy Spirit. Another thing is in verse 14. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance for the redemption of the liberty of the purchase to the praise of his glory. Well, that's kind of a struggling sentence. It means this. When you buy a house, kids, you have to put down a down payment. That down payment is the assurance to the owner that you're going to get the rest of it, that the rest is coming. So Holy Spirit is a down payment to the rest, the inheritance that we have. It's a joint inheritance with Jesus and with all of our brothers and sisters that we're going to receive. And the first thing that's going to happen in that inheritance is the redemption of our bodies. The change of our bodies from the mortal to the immortal, from the natural to the supernatural. And we will have the same type of body that Christ Jesus has. And we will be free. That's why this old translation here says liberty. We will be free of the nagging aspects of the flesh, which confront us all the time. I don't care how long you walk with the Lord. There will be some issue that rises up in your flesh, emotional, intellectual, physical, whatever, that the devil recognizes he can nag you with and bother you with and create a kind of a bondage. But the Holy Spirit wants to free you now and say, look, more is coming. Accept my presence now and know that the rest is coming. It's yours. Third thing, let's turn to Romans 8:15. I'll start in 15. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that same spirit bears witness to our spirits that we are the children of God. The spirit of adoption. Adoption is different from rebirth. When you get born again, you receive a new nature. You become a spiritual being. That's the act of rebirth. But the spirit of adoption does something more. It is a choice that God makes. It is the decision that was in his mind about you. That he said, I'll take you. And he chose you even before this earth was formed. That's how far back it goes. He chose you. Adoption is powerful because it takes away that spirit of disconnect. Right now, and for some time, there has been a lot of discussions and some teachings on what is called the orphan spirit. Have you ever heard that? How many of you heard about the orphan spirit? The solution to the orphan spirit is the spirit of adoption. You don't need a lot of counseling. You need the Holy Ghost. Do you hear me? That settles the issue. You don't have to go back into your history and say, they beat me, and then they kicked me out, and then I lost. Come on. Let's get a hold of ourselves here. The spirit of adoption settles the issue of rejection. I don't care how many people reject you or how disappointed you are with your life and that people didn't always love you. When you get the spirit of adoption, you are no longer suffering that. Any of that, because the love of God trumps the rejection of mankind. The acceptance, the decision of God to choose you. I remember many, many years ago, there was an evangelist from South America. Name was Juan Carlos Ortiz. And he gripped my heart. It must have been close to 50 years ago. He was teaching, and I was listening to old cassette tape. You know, the kind that gets stuck in your car radio? What a joy that was. And I almost drove the car off the road. He said to me, he said, "You choose Jesus because Jesus chose you." I was like, oh my God. The decision of our salvation was made by God, not by us. When he chose you, you choose him. The enablement to decide God, Ephesians 2:8, is of God, not of us. I am so blessed by that. Are you blessed by that? Does that mean that there's no free will in the act? Yep, there was. My will was free to choose him back, but he made it possible for me to choose him because he chose me and he gave me the grace to do this. Oh, glory to God. I just want to run, you know? Hallelujah. I do. I wish Joyce Lint was here. We'd see her running around the back of the church. Remember Joyce? I don't need the approval of the world or anybody. Not that we don't rejoice when people love us, and it's all very valuable, but the point is we're no longer desperate for that, for approval. I want to minister healing to you right now in the name of Jesus to free you from every type of fear of rejection, need for approval that causes you to change your lifestyle because of that. Jesus, I pray right now by the power of your Spirit, by what you did sending Holy Spirit into us to deliver everyone here from the fear of rejection and the lonely spirit that comes to people to threaten them and to feel, make them feel isolated and unloved. In Jesus' name, I break the power of that and I command you to be set free now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are delivered from the bondage of fear, according to 2 Timothy 1:7. Abba. Abba is an interesting word. It's a Chaldee word. It's not Hebrew or Greek. It's Chaldee. Abba means daddy, father. I have it tattooed here as an ever-present reminder. Not that I need it anymore, but I did it because I was so convicted, and so convicted in a good way, that God had called me, chosen me, adopted me, that I said, I want this here ever to glorify you. Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. An intimate relationship, not a far away, not a theological understanding, not a God so big we can't appreciate him like Joe prophesied this morning, but a God near who makes himself capable for us to understand him and to appreciate and to know his heart and his love and his acceptance and approval. Abba, 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 Father, Abba, 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 Abba. It's so delicious. Abba. It settles all forms of rejection. If God loves us and chose us, what difference then can anything else make? Praise God. All right. He seals us. He's a down payment. He's the spirit of adoption. Fourth, Romans 5:5. The Holy Spirit begins to shed his love into our hearts. Smear it on us. The word shed is a word like something opens up and pours out and gushes out onto you and smears everything. It's like finger painting on a wall, just covering everything and circulating it around and constantly making it known to you. That's what God, the Holy Spirit, does. He sheds his love. He sheds his love on us. A love that is almost incomprehensible at times. It's beyond any type of love that we know in the human realm. It's so powerful and supernatural. A love of life, a love of healing, a love of acceptance. It's intimate. It's joy. It's peace. All of that comes through the love of God. Holy Spirit constantly doing that. It's not a one-time thing. It starts when we receive him. I recall the first time I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and of course I started speaking tongues just... it was just gushing through me, and I felt every form of emotion just washing over me. I did feel his love. I felt his acceptance and his approval. It was so wonderful. It isn't greater than being born again, but it's essential after we've been born again that we receive Holy Spirit so he can do these things. Now, these are dramatic occasions. The question is, how much of this do we experience? And there's two questions that probably address it. One is an answer, let's say. One is, we didn't know this. We were not that aware of it. We read the scriptures, but they was like speed bumps. We ran right over them. We quoted them, but we didn't experience them. That's one thing. The second is, while we have known some of these things, we never appealed to him for them. We never called out to him to express this truth in us. We didn't have any intimate recognition with him. We never allowed him to become personal. We in some ways, were allowing him to stay at a distance rather than appeal to him for the truth of this. If you need to know that you have been sealed, ask Holy Spirit, not me, not the scriptures. Ask him. If you know you've been adopted and called, you're not sure, ask him. Ask him to make that clear to you. Whatever it is you might need, you're going to get it by being intimate with him, to acknowledge him, to be aware of him, to rely upon him, to talk to him, to pray with him, to do everything with him, to walk with him. If you do that, then the reality of these scriptures is going to work in you. They're not just Bible verses anymore. I want you to know something. Here, let's look at it this way. What Paul wrote to the Ephesians about these things and said to the Romans, he experienced them before he wrote this. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's nothing here in scriptures that can be more real than what Paul experienced and then wrote it. He experienced it. Do you understand? He knew he'd been sealed by the Holy Ghost, so he wrote it to the Ephesians. He knew he'd been adopted by the Spirit of adoption, so he wrote it to the Romans. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit made some truth to him by revelation. There's more. There's an inheritance coming to you. And he began to experience the love of God shed abroad in his heart. So he wrote what he experienced. Otherwise, he's just a theologian in a school. But he wasn't. He was a person experiencing God and transferring that experience to us in written form. It's amazing what God showed him. Of course, there's scriptures. You can do cross references and say, well, I can see something in the Old Testament that relates to that. That's one of the beauties of scripture. Scripture interprets scripture. But experience. Wow. Revelation. Wow. Now I know I know. Jesus one time was talking with the Pharisees, and I think it was Pharisees, it might have been Sadducees too, but anyway, the Levites and the priests and all the people who struggled with him. And in John 5, he said, you guys search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, meaning the more I know about what God said and had recorded, the better it is and I'll have eternal life. He said, no. He said, those scriptures are about me, and here I am, and you won't receive me. The point is this, everything in the Word of God points to the living God, to the reality that you can have with him. There is no point in Bible study unless you end up knowing him, receiving him, enjoying him, participating with him, walking with him. I don't want any of us ever to be guilty of knowing the scriptures without knowing the man of the scripture, the life of Christ personally in us by the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Heavenly Father, this is as far as we can go today. It's a lot to absorb, and you, by your Spirit, in us will do the teaching. Holy Spirit, we appeal to you today to honor the truth of who you are and what you do by making it known to those who call out to you, who appeal to you, who long to you, long for you to express yourself in them. I break the power of the fear of the Spirit, fear of the supernatural, that you don't feel worthy or it's too eerie or mystical to have a relationship with the indwelling God. I break that power in the name of Jesus right now, because you were made to have union and communion and relationship with God. You were made for that. You were made to have communion with him. He chose you not only to have communion, but to dwell in you. What could be more? What could be more? If you've never gotten intimate with Holy Spirit, do it. And by intimate, I don't mean anything that would be perverse, but close, close, and closer. And honest, and open, and relational. Talk to him about these things today. Settle things in your life. Praise him and thank him. And rejoice. And be changed by that truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless him. Bless him. Give him praise, not me. Give him praise for all this truth. Will you? Give him praise for this. Give him praise. He heals us psychologically, emotionally, intellectually. He heals us with his presence. Isn't it wonderful? I pray nobody leave here today feeling that they have not been still struggling with the spirit of rejection or any of these things, fear that you've lost your salvation or anything. God knows how to keep his own. As long as you don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you might grieve him. Don't do it. Just because God has sealed you doesn't mean you have freedom to sin. The freedom is to live in him, not in sin. Don't ever say to God, well, I know you'll forgive me. That is cheapening the grace of God on you. Do you hear me? Yes. I know some of you have said that and think, well, God will forgive me, and gone on in sin. Shame on you for doing that. Shame on you. You need to repent. You don't say, well, I can do this and get away with it because God will forgive me. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. And the minute you're troubled and excited or whatever, your flesh is longing to do that it shouldn't do, you appeal to the Holy Spirit and he will be the strength to deliver you immediately out of that. Do you hear me? Yes. This works. Hallelujah. Praise God. I thought I would add, that's a little addendum to the teaching. Okay. All right, beloved. Why don't you just spend a little time soaking in something that you heard today, and then bless one another, love on each other. It's always a great thing. That's why we're here. Love God, love one another. Okay. Ciao.